We are a little over 2 months away from Texans training camp, but if a long-term deal does not happen with J.D. Clowney, our own Cecil Short says we'll have to wait even longer to see number 90.
From what I've been hearing from people close to him is that you should not expect him. We shouldn't expect him until September.
That would be week one of the regular season.
He is not expected to come to training camp as of yesterday. So I had a good conversation with some guys yesterday, and they said we probably should not expect him till September.
All right, Seth, you feel good about this, right?
I actually heard this news yesterday, and I won't say I rejoiced, but I thought, oh, okay, I read this as Clowney's going to be here in September. I anticipated some kind of a holdout, and it's whether you want to call it a holdout or not, he's not under contract. So we had like a three-week argument with McClain last year about what exactly a holdout is versus a lockout.
Don't remind me.
And I still don't think we resolved anything. So whatever you want to call it. Clowney might not have a contract till September. He might not sign the franchise tender until September if he doesn't get a new deal. I just read into that as, oh, okay, he's going to be here in September. That's all I want. That's all I want for Christmas. Give me an early Christmas. Give me Jadeveon Clowney here for week one.
I feel good about that. My only concern is he didn't do a lot in training camp last year, and I want to say he barely played at all in the preseason, and it seemed clear the first couple weeks that he was rusty, and then all of a sudden he was Clowney again. That's my fear this season.
You know what I would say is that last year, maybe he was mildly disgruntled. Remember, we wondered if them holding him out was maybe almost kind of like a soft holdout where, okay, the team understands that you'd like a new contract. We don't want you to hold out, but we're going to be extra careful with you. That was my conspiracy theory last year, the soft holdout. So,
because remember, last year he was there at OTAs,
yeah,
but he wasn't actually doing anything.
He was like a chiseled spectator that had sideline passes.
Yeah, basically.
So this year the question would be, is a disgruntled Clowney good or bad? Is that a good Clowney or a bad Clowney? Like, if he shows up with a chip on his shoulder,
good Clowney,
saying, like, how come you didn't pay me? I'm going to go out and prove to the world what I can do. I think that's good for the Texans.
I think that's good, too. I would still pay him.
Mm-hmm.
As long as I didn't have to pay him as much as Mac and Donald, then I would pay him. Not those two guys.
The question is always, because personally, just on my observations of what Clowney is like as a football player, like, he's got a high motor, which nobody ever wants to believe or point out. He's got a great motor. He runs around all over the place. He goes hard all the time. Whenever he has a bad play, people want to blame it on his motor for some reason. It's weird. He's got a top 10% motor as defensive edge players go. And he produces. Like, when you stack up his tackles for a loss, his hits on the quarterback, his sacks, all those things, he's one of the highest impact players behind the line of scrimmage in the NFL. He just doesn't have the glorified sack numbers to where it's easy for people. Like, I feel like people talking about sack numbers are the same people that are like wringing their hands over batting average in baseball. Like, you got to keep up with the times. It's not as simple as just, hey, this guy's got this number of sacks, let's quantify him this way.
Here's why he's valuable. Because when the best teams in the league play the Texans, I believe in my heart of hearts, the guy they worry about the most is Jadeveon Clowney.
Mm-hmm.
I believe they worry about him more than they worry about Watt or anybody else in the defense.
That's interesting.
That's in my heart of hearts.
I'd go back to the first game of the season, just because that's the one I most recently watched. And JJ got a lot more attention in the first half than Clowney did. But they also might have felt better about Orlando Brown, the left tackle at that point. Orlando Brown had a pretty good game versus J.J. or Jadeveon Clowney.
He did. All right, next headline.
Runner on the move. Ball hit pretty well. Jake on the move. Still going back at the track near the wall. He makes the play. Crashes into the wall. Runner trying to get back. Correa doubles him up. What a play for the double play to end the fifth. Even a nice hop by Tyler White to get over the sliding runner to finish off the double play.
All right, so things got off to an okay start against the White Sox, but they got very weird. Jake Mrazek would then go on to hit into a triple play. The Astros took a lead, but things got away in the sixth inning between Garrett Cole and Josh James.
Gives momentum to the Sox. If not, a lot of momentum shifts to Houston.
Charlie bashes this ball. Deep right field. It is a grand slam, Charlie Tilson. start the party at New Trier. 8-3 Sox.
Couldn't pick a better time for his first.
The White Sox broke it open in
the
sixth. They scored six runs in that inning, and they go on to win 9-4. So Josh James gave up that grand slam. It was a weird half inning for Josh James because he was getting squeezed by the umpire.
Oh, yeah, he was really. Now, he's being punished for being really precise at times.
It didn't affect that batter, nor the one before, because he induced a ground out, and he was basically a pitch away from getting out of the inning. So I don't want to crush him because there were things going on.
He inherited two runners.
Yeah, but it just shows you yet again that this is somebody who, when he's really good, he's such a dangerous weapon in the bullpen, and yet we're still not at a really high trust level with Josh James.
Josh James is one of those moments where you say, okay, Jeff Luhnow is earning his managerial pay with Josh James if he can pull it off. Because I feel with Josh James, it's as much about the psychology of a young pitcher as a guy that's like rediscovered or discovered speed that he didn't have 2 years ago. And he's trying to learn to play at the major league level. Is he a starter? Is he a reliever? Like all these things that are going through his brain. Jeff Luhnow has to be very careful with how he manages them. So I'm still optimistic about him over the course of the next year or two. It's just that every time he steps on the mound, I'm going to be a little bit nervous. This game last night, this game felt like you were out on a date with a girl and things were going pretty well, except that every now and then you keep messing up. Like you like bring up a political topic or something and it turns out you're in the wrong, you guys are on opposite ends of the spectrum. Or you like all of a sudden like basically insult some sports team and it turns out her brother plays for that team or something. Like every step along the way, you've got more hits than these guys. You're doing some, but then you hit into a double play, you hit into a triple play. Garrett Cole just wasn't on his A game.
Yeah, not at all.
Garrett Cole is pitching his fastball and a slider are both about 2 miles an hour off of his season average. He just didn't have it last night.
He just didn't have it. He just, for the first time in an Astros uniform, I was watching him and I felt like, boy, he just doesn't have the stuff to punch guys out.
Yeah.
And you could really tell in the sixth inning, like he just didn't have the ability to, you know, like rear back and actually get these guys out, and they took him out.
You know what I think about all the time? Like I actually wake up stressed about it sometimes. Was that time that Lance McCullers told us that sometimes you wake up in the morning as a pitcher and you realize you slept on your arm wrong.
Yep.
And your arm is dead, and that's all there's. And that's the end of the story.
You just like, gotta live with
it. You gotta live that whole day knowing, like, well, I'm probably gonna have a rough night. So anytime Garrett Cole or somebody like that has a performance like this, I'm like, it's easier for me to discount it and just say, like, all right, it was just a bad night. Maybe he slept on his arm wrong or something. But I always think about that feeling of like what it's like the whole day where you know you're just not gonna have your stuff.
It's gotta be pretty stressful.
Yeah.
But the good thing for Garrett Cole is if he did sleep on his arm wrong the night before, it was only against the White Sox and it was only a regular season game.
That's also what Lance said before he went out in the World Series, though, too. He said that night he didn't feel it.
He wasn't feeling it.
It worked out all right for him that night.
It did.
Yeah.
Next headline, the NFL announcing, Seth, a couple changes that will affect the way that we watch games starting this season. One is more of a nerdy one. There's gonna be no single header rule. What that means is that every single market across the country is gonna get three games every single Sunday. That's the first change.
Oh, really?
Yes.
So there's not gonna be like, it's 3 o'clock and there's no game on?
It's not gonna be like you get your team and then just the double header game. Okay. You're gonna get in every market three games. Every single Sunday you're gonna get three football games at minimum. Some markets might get more. But that's the way I'll simplify it.
Were there games that were getting two? That's what I'm saying. Like, who was getting two?
Some were getting two.
Right. So you get the primetime game at night, and then you get the noon game, the 3 o'clock game?
I think some markets, like, let me use an example. I think in New York City, where you're going to get the Jets and the Giants.
Yeah.
So I think, like, let's say the Jets or the Giants were in the doubleheader. Then you would get the other team, you get the doubleheader, and then that's it. And you'd get nothing else.
Okay.
Now, every single market across the country is going to get three NFL games every Sunday. That's something that people complained about in the past.
I'm so confused.
My whole goal last night was I wanted to present this as simply as possible. So the bottom line
market's getting three. You have to tell me what the problem was. Who was it? That you're New York. Don't do a New York scenario. Tell me Kansas City.
I don't know what Kansas City's was, but all I know is that there were sometimes where these markets got only two games and people would be upset.
Well, what I would say is it seems like, correct me if I'm wrong, because I've had direct ticket for a long time, so I'm spoiled, but it seems like there used to be times where maybe you'd watch the Texans at noon and then there's no afternoon game on.
Yes.
Is that what it is?
That's what it is.
Thank you.
Yes, that's what it is.
Thank you. Well, how did you spend time on that last night and then make it as sometimes I need needlessly complex?
Well,
today?
Sometimes I need the greatness of Seth Payne to kind of trigger my mind.
There's what it means is a good chance that I didn't describe it accurately just now.
I think you actually did.
That's the worst when there's no afternoon game on.
Well, now it's changing.
I can remember that time's just ruining my whole afternoon. Okay.
Another note, the division round playoff games are going to start a little bit later, similar to the wild card. The division round games are going to start at 2 p.m. and 5:30 p.m. Seth, I do not like this move. I like the divisional round NFL playoff game starting when they normally did, which was noon Central, and then three p.m. Central time.
Yeah,
I like that.
No, this is better.
Is it better?
Yeah, you get stuff to do. Sometimes a big game like that needs to be honored by being on a little later in the day.
But I feel like I'm the only person in America. I'm exaggerating, of course, who likes football. When I wake up and eat breakfast. Now this is the playoffs when the Texans might be unfortunately out of it.
I like that for the regular season. For the playoffs, I want it to feel a little special.
Okay. Because in college football now, all the big games, although Fox is changing it now this year, but like all the big games in college football are on Saturday at like 7 o'clock.
I think that playoff football is the one time where I actually sometimes enjoy watching games with other people. Maybe that's part of it.
Okay,
It's actually easier to get together with people later in the day.
Before we get to a move Seth's needle, Seth, I know one thing that you're wondering is what the Texans know about Clowney that we may not know.
Well, that's the thing that keeps coming up, because I know that, for one, there haven't been any leaks at all about what Clowney wants or what the Texans have offered. That actually makes me feel good. The Texans, even though it was mostly under Rick Smith, the Texans have a history of all of a sudden surprising us with a contract extension, like without anything leaking out about anything, about whether it's going well, whether it's going poorly. All of a sudden Arian Foster or Matt Schaub or other guys have a contract extension. So the fewer leaks there are, the better I feel about how it's probably going. But the biggest thing that we really have no clue about is, how do the Texans feel about Clowney's injury history? You know, was the microfracture he had a few years back actually a big deal, or was it no big deal? Because microfracture is actually done a lot now. It's almost become a routine part of some surgeries, or at least some surgeons like to do it whenever they're doing, or very often when they're doing knee surgeries. So I don't, just saying he had microfracture surgery doesn't freak me out, but it could be that if it was a more involved one than the typical one, then that might be an issue. Just the sheer quantity of his injuries, what do the analytics say about all that? What do the Texans know that we don't? That's the only thing that makes me concerned. Other than that, it's all just a contract dispute. Clowney's going to show up in September. He'll play football. Does he have a new deal? Does he not? It doesn't matter.
And we'll know whether he has a new deal by July 15th. Real quick, the two things that they might know that we don't know, one is the injuries, and two is more of just a general feel sort of thing. If they feel about Clowney that he's not quite at the level of a Watt or a Hopkins or an Andre Johnson going back a few years, so where they're not quite willing to commit that sort of contract to this player for whatever reason. Time now for Move Seth's Needle.
All right, let's start off with this, a defense of Jake Marisnyk, because I will not abide Jake Marisnyk slander on my social media timelines or what have you. I get the sense, this has always annoyed me, this has always perturbed me. I feel like when people hit into a double or a triple play, people have a much greater expectation for how well a batter can control where the ball goes. Jake Marisnyk hit the hell out of that ball, 97 miles an hour. It just went into a perfectly positioned, I almost want to call it a shift, because the third baseman was
right there.
Whenever the third baseman is where they typically would be, it feels so weird that I almost call it a shift. He hit it right to the third baseman. It sucks, but then Jake makes up for it in the fifth inning with an awesome double play. So I don't want anybody sitting here talking any smack about Jake Marisnyk and ignoring everything great that he's done offensively this season. It's just simply bad luck. Good for the White Sox. They get a nice little victory here to make them feel better about their future. But don't blame any of this on Jake Marisnyk, or I will fight you in the streets.
You're 100% right. He was totally unlucky. Moncada was playing right at third base, hugging the line, and the ground ball was right to him. And so something you will almost never see happen, a guy as fast as Marisnyk hits into a triple play.
Plus, the last time the Astros had a triple play, I think the last one was last year, and it was the one where Gattis had the base running error. So, like, that's one that'll infuriate you. You have a triple play because Gattis forgets how many outs there are. This is just a standard run-of-the-mill triple play.
It happens.
And he made up for it a little bit later. So, Jake, if anybody is harming you out there, give me their names. I'll go seek them out. This was just one, since we're doing Moves, Sass, Needle, it's supposed to remind me that I'm a human being every now and then. Saw this on social media yesterday. This is a kid shooting hoops. And he's filming himself shooting hoops, as the kids do these days. He's probably checking his technique and what have you. He has a camera set up. And a mail truck, a U.S. mail truck, pulls up to the driveway.
I saw
this,
yeah.
This is what the mail lady said.
Let me see. What you got? Let me see what you got. Your little mail lady, you might as well let him get used to it. What you got? What you got? Come on with it. Up, up. Bam. Damn. Come on.
We had to dump that at the end. We there was he had she said that was some smooth bleep. And we missed a bleep on
she
it.
She kind of snuck that in there. That's on us.
Austin, what happened? Austin filling in for Chris Jones. I thought you bleeped it. Did you use the old copy?
I thought I did. Not good enough.
I play the mail lady.
I love that mail lady. I feel like she needs her own reality show. This kid too.
It was really funny.
This kid, he was pretty smart good. Thing. He had just nailed a three. Well, okay, an outside shot. A three by driveway standards.
Yeah. What is a three?
When she pulled up and she said, let me see what you got, but he went for the high percentage shot when he's trying to impress his new mail lady, and he dunks it.
He did legitimately dunk it.
That's not a 10-foot rim.
No, it's not a 10-foot
rim. It's not 8 foot, though. That's a 9 foot.
Yeah, I think it looked like it was somewhere 8-9 feet. That's what it looked like.
This kid's got a good enough shot that dad's got to raise that thing up to 10. That's a teenager.
Looked like a nice neighborhood, too.
So I think there's like a, there's a burgeoning relationship here between... That's going to be the new thing. Instead of teacher scandals with like a good-looking teacher, it's going to be mail lady scandals.
Mail lady and basketball players and driveways.
Falls in love with the teenage.
That's the new thing.
Hooper Sean. So, and then, do we have time for this? The one more.
We have time.
A little kid was seeking help for a school project, so he put it out that he needed a. He was looking for a celebrity endorser for a hypothetical chip that he was marketing, and JJ Watt obliged.
Oh, hello there. I'm JJ Watt for the Houston Texans. And when I'm feeling like I'm lacking a little energy, I grab a bag of energy chips with 50% less sugar. They're nutritious, and only one bag a day gives you all the energy you need for the whole day. They keep me hype.
And then Will Fuller shows
up. Wow, and they're delicious. Wow, it does feel like I'm getting more energy. Should probably eat one. Let's go!
Fuller exposed what a fraud all of the marketing stuff is by saying "Wow" before he even tasted one.
Yeah.
Also, look, I hate to be a killjoy here, but I don't think the FDA is going to approve of that statement that one bag of chip gives you all the energy you need.
I feel like
have a bunch of emaciated potato chip eaters out there.
I feel like if that bag of chips gave you all the energy you needed, there's something in there that's not that healthy.
This is why this moved my needle a little bit, is that JJ and a lot of guys, like professional athletes in general, do a really good job working with kids and doing a bunch of stuff that never meets the media or anything. It reminded me of this one time that I still feel awful about. There's no way I could ever find this kid. But it was when I was playing for the Texans. I went to the batting cages with my wife in the offseason just to mess around. You know, she was doing
surprising
move. She was playing slow pitch, and I was like, okay, you know, so I'm going and I'm hitting, and I'm crushing it, of course.
Okay.
Some indoor batting cage somewhere around here. I don't know if it's still around or not. But there was this kid in the next stall, whatever. And he was getting some instruction. The kid was getting really frustrated. And you could tell he's like one of these kids that really cared about baseball. He was only like 12 years old. Like, he was getting frustrated because he was trying to fix something in his swing and he wasn't. And his mom was there. And I felt bad for the kid. But I used to be, believe it or not, Mike, I used to be kind of bashful, like in public around people, even when I was like 6 years into the NFL at this point. And I wanted to say something to the kid, like to give him some encouragement. But I just didn't know what to say because it's not like I'm a baseball guy or anything. Like, oh, keep your elbow up. But I couldn't come up with something. And then as I'm leaving, I heard the kid say, like, as I was walking out the door, hey, that guy looks like Seth Payne. And for some reason, that made me even less, like, I was like, I really should say something to this kid. But I like was like
I think you're
in
okay.
a loss. No. Mike, I've felt guilty about this for 15 years. I have felt awful about this for
until
like 15, 16. And I still do. this kid's out there somewhere. He might be hooked on meth or something. And I feel like it's because I didn't stop to take the time to say, hey, kid, keep your chin up. It's all good. You got to remember this game's supposed to be fun. That's what I should have told him. I didn't have to give him baseball advice.
That's all you can really say.
Hey, man, it's supposed to be fun. You got to figure out a way to make it fun. You know, you're putting a lot of, this is one of those kids. He didn't have like a parent putting too much pressure on him. He was putting too much pressure
on himself.
So, hey, listen, kid, okay, if you're out there, I give you a retroactive hug and tell you everything's going to be just fine. Get off the meth.
Mad Radio on a Thursday on Sports Radio 610. Coming up at the top of the hour, if the Texans can just do this one thing with Jadeveon Clowney, I would be absolutely all over it. Next.